It's time for lesson number 7 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., and an evening worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. The teacher for this school, for now, is E.A. Elam, who was born in 1855 and died in 1929. He wrote a number of Sunday school lessons, and I'm going to be reading from one of those Sunday school lessons that he wrote for January the 8th, 1922. It's in a little book called Elam's Notes for 1922. And we're talking about Elijah the Tishbite. The text for this lesson is 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 through 16. And I'm on page 25, where Brother Elam begins to give us some explanatory notes. So as the old schoolmaster used to say, the class will now come to order. Here it is. Explanatory notes. Elijah's character. Elijah the Tishbite is the well-known designation of Elijah. In several passages, he's referred to this. Assuming that a town is alluded to as Elijah's native place, it is not necessary to infer that it was itself in Gilead, as many have imagined. The commentators and lexicographers, with few exceptions, adopt the name Tishbite as referencing the place of Tishbe in Naphtali. That's from Smith's Bible Dictionary. This shows that we can learn nothing concerning the parentage and birth of Elijah. We know nothing of his early life. He was of the sojourners. He was of the sojourners of Gilead, which implies that he removed to Gilead from some other place. No reason is given why he did this. Gilead was a mountainous region east of the Jordan, with Bashan on the north and Moab and Ammon on the south. Gilead means a hard, rocky region. Gilead is spoken of many times in the Bible. Elijah has been called a typical mountaineer. He manifested great physical endurance and was strong and fleet. He wore a garment of hair and a girdle of leather about his loins, 1 Kings 1:8. This was the dress of the prophets, Isaiah 22, Zechariah 13:4. Thus John the Baptist dressed, Matthew 3 and verse 4. Elijah also wore a mantle or cape. In this he hid his face in reference for Jehovah, 1 Kings 19:13. This he cast upon Elisha when he divided the Jordan. Thus he dropped as he ascended to heaven. And with this Elijah also divided the Jordan in 1 Kings 2:8, 13, and 14. Number 2, the condition of Israel. Ahab was king of Israel, and the wicked Jezebel was his wife. Israel had forsaken the faith and worship of Jehovah. While Jehoram had introduced the calves, he and other kings acknowledged as Jehovah and endeavored to worship him through these calves. But Ahab had introduced the worship of Baal, the idolatry of the heathen Sidonians. Said unto Ahab, as lightning in a clear sky, as we sometimes say, Elijah appeared unto Ahab. Jehovah is the name of the God of Israel. Jehovah is his memorial name forever. The version we use puts Jehovah for the Lord in the Authorized Version. Jehovah, the God of Israel, liveth, and it is no dumb, blind, and lifeless idol. Before whom I stand, whom he served, and by whose authority he spoke. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word, Elijah had said. God had foretold that if this people would not obey him, with other curses should come, and with those other curses would come drought. And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Deuteronomy 28, look at verses 15 through 24. This was a direct challenge to Baal, because Baal was the god of production and agriculture. Since Ahab had turned away from Jehovah to serve Baal, let Baal supply the dew and rain. If he could not, then he was nothing. God spoke through Elijah, and it did not rain except as Elijah said. God did this through Elijah to show that he was with his true and loyal prophet. He sent Elijah to Ahab to let Ahab know that it was the God of Israel against whom he was sinning, and that God was thus chastening him and Israel. Number three, Elijah at the brook. To escape the vengeance of Ahab, and to give the famine time to have its chastening effect upon Israel, God sent Elijah away. Turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. We cannot locate this brook. Some suppose that because Elijah turned eastward, it was east of the Jordan and flowed into the Jordan. Some suppose it was west of the Jordan, not far from Samaria. Of the water of this constantly flowing stream, Elijah was to drink until the drought dried it up. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Some try to explain away this miracle. God could perform one miracle as well as another. The ravens, which God chose as illustration of his watch care, hearing their young when they cry, in Job 38:41, were selected to feed Elijah. It is not stated how long Elijah remained in this retreat. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. Thus, regularly, they carried him his daily meals. This is no more wonderful than the ravenous lions that should not hurt Daniel when he was cast into the lion's den. When the brook dried up, Jehovah commanded Elijah to go to Zarephath, which belonged to Sidon, and dwell there. Zarephath was the town on the Mediterranean Sea in Phoenicia, between Tyre and Sidon, near to Sidon, in the land of Sidon, Luke 4:26. Ahab was searching everywhere for Elijah, and since he must remove from his hiding place by Cherith, there's no place where Ahab would be less liable to look for him than in Baal's own company and among his worshippers. I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. God commanded this widow to sustain Elijah, as he had commanded the ravens to feed him. In his overruling providence, he brought it about. He wrought another miracle by preserving the meat and oil. To this woman Jesus referred to in the synagogue of Nazareth, when the very people among whom he was brought up rejected him. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, and none of them was Elijah sent, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon to a woman that was a widow. So in the days of Elijah, there were many lepers in Israel, but only Naaman the Syrian was healed. That's Luke 4:25-26. This was a Gentile woman, but she had more faith than the women of Israel. Hence, to her, Elijah was sent. Two purposes were here served. One, Elijah's life, and two, the lives of the widow in her house were preserved. The reception of God's blessings depend upon one's condition of heart. Other widows would have been likewise blessed had they exercised the same faith. In helping others, we help ourselves. And in helping others, we place ourselves where God will help us. In this very country, Jesus healed the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. Number four. the widow of Zarephath. Elijah always promptly obeyed God. He went at once to Zarephath. The city had walls and gates, but small places then were fortified. Near the gate of the city, he saw a widow gathering sticks and requested her to fetch him a drink of water. He was both thirsty and hungry. To give the thirsty stranger drink has always been considered a sacred duty in the East. Notwithstanding the continued drought, there was water at Zarephath yet. As the woman went for water, Elijah requested her also to bring him a morsel of bread. To this she replied, "As Jehovah thy God liveth, I have not a cake." She called Jehovah the God that liveth, thy God, Elijah's God. But Jesus referenced her and her action on this occasion to show that she was a woman of faith. She recognized Elijah, doubtless by his dress and speech, as a prophet of Israel. She showed her faith by acting upon Elijah's directions, 1 Kings 17:13 and 14. She had no bread baked, and only a handful of meal in the jar, and a little oil in the curse. The barrel of the Authorized Version is properly called a jar. It was not, says Adam Clark, a wooden vessel or a barrel of any kind. Clark further says, "In the East, they preserve their corn and meal in such vessels, without which precaution the insects would destroy them." The oil in the curse was doubtless olive oil, eaten with bread as we eat butter. These sticks the woman gathered that she may go in and dress it, and bake it for eating for herself and her son, that we may eat it and die. This was all she had, and she knew not where more was to come from. The famine was over that country too, and starvation was looking her in the face. And thus, calmly, she met it. First, Elijah encouraged her by saying, "Fear not, starvation." This was a hopeful declaration, for she recognized Elijah as a prophet of the living God. "Make me therefore a little cake first." This was asking much of her, and was a strong test of her faith. This was a proof of her worthiness of greater blessings from God. Could she give a stranger to eat the last she had, and that too, before she and her son had eaten, and when she knew not where she could obtain more? If we use what we have to feed God's poor and advance his cause, he will entrust us with greater blessings and opportunities. Elijah accompanied this request with the promise from God that the jar of meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail, until the day that Jehovah sendeth rain upon the earth. She believed this statement and did as Elijah had requested. Elijah, the woman, and her house did eat many days until the famine had passed. In faith she did as God directed and was blessed. In helping Elijah, she helped herself. In contributing to Elijah, she increased her own resources. How true! There is that which scattereth and increaseth yet more. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth only to want. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Proverbs 11:24-25. We're going to end this class at this time. If you have a question, you can email or text me at wmhboyd@aol.com. And I'd like to hear from you and know what you think of this Bible school. This concludes this session of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And as the old schoolmaster used to say, you may now be dismissed.